Before we go any further, will you please all join with me in prayer? Let us pray. Loving God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel, God of Pam and Darren and Tony and Alan, you break into the mundane patterns of our daily lives and reveal the sacredness right underneath our feet. In the quiet sacredness of this place, we ask that you would quiet everything within us except your voice. Show us the ways in which we are already on holy ground. Reveal yourself to us. Open yourself up so that we can open ourselves up to you. We ask all of this in your holy name. Amen. I have been going by Laura Michelle Coley for my entire life, but there have been a few moments in my life where I have attempted to change my name. When I was a child, my mother informed me that some people, when they get married, they change their name. And so as I absorbed that information and thought for a moment, I decided in that moment to tell my mom, when I get married, I was going to change my name to Lisa. For whatever reason, I love the name Lisa. Lisa Frank, Lisa Turtle from Saved by the Bell. I literally introduced several of my friends to my parents by the name Lisa. That wasn't their name at all. It was all very 1980s of me. I don't know. I love the name. As I got older, later in middle school, I toyed with the idea of changing my name from Laura to Lori, because there were a couple of other Lauras in my class, but it didn't stick, and I'm okay with that. And then I've picked up a few nicknames, just like Pam has over the years. In my family, I'm known as Missy or Missy Sue, and I have a beautiful Illinois vanity license plate to prove it that I got when I was 16, and it's still on my beautiful 2004 Toyota Camry. Go check it out. One of my best friends calls me Loco as a nickname abbreviation for Laura Coley. But I think my absolutely favorite nickname is the nickname that I share with my husband. It is a pet name, a name of an endearing name. We call each other Grim. I don't know. Grim. It's kind of, I don't know. Doesn't sound very loving. Grim, I don't know. It's a random made-up name that we use for each other. We use it in the house. We use it when we text. We use it in the grocery store. In fact, if you ever hear us calling each other Laura or Eric instead of Grim or Grimmy, it probably means that we're pretty mad at each other, so it's not good news. So Grim is this name that is kind of magical to me. It's magical because it's a name that we created together. Something that we share, something we've made and given meaning to. In our biblical text for today, God names God's own self. And this naming takes place with a partner, with this guy, Moses, who would end up being the character who knows God more intimately than anyone else in the Bible. Exodus 3 begins with the fugitive Moses watching a flock of sheep in the wilderness, when suddenly God does what God does in the wilderness, and that is God shows up. God appears in the form of a burning bush, blazing but not consumed. And then for an instant, we are inside of Moses' head as he decides to turn away from his flock and leave them behind, thinking, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush has not burned up. And in that moment, God recognizes something in Moses that is special. God sees a bit of God's own being within Moses, within Moses' willingness to turn aside. Just as Moses is willing to be derailed for the sake of the things of God, God too is willing to be derailed for the sake of humanity. God hears the cries of the Israelite people enslaved in Egypt. God sees their pain. God is present to their suffering and is willing to turn aside, to change plans, to enter into human history and to liberate them. So when God sees a person who's willing to turn aside just as God turns aside, God calls out to him by name saying, "Moses, Moses." And God reveals God's self as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then commissions Moses to go out and lead the Israelites out of Egypt, promising that God will be Moses, be with Moses every step of the way. So at this point, God has already revealed a lot about who God is. Moses knows that God is powerful and mysterious, that God can just change the physical world. God is connected to the Israelite ancestors of the past, and God is concerned with the Israelite people of today. God is affected by the human realm and invested in the future of humanity. God reveals all of this, and yet Moses wants to know more, and so Moses asks, "What is your name?" Now, elsewhere in the Bible, God resists telling people God's name. There are times when people ask, "What is your name?" and God refuses to tell them. God does not reveal God's name to Jacob in the book of Genesis or to Manoah in the book of Judges. And God is resistant to sharing God's name because we know that names have power. Names have power. The other day, I was talking to Dwayne, who is our facilities manager. He's the person who makes sure that this place doesn't crumble too much to the ground each and every day. Dwayne's on vacation, so pray for us. The other day, I was talking to Dwayne downstairs when a guest walked in and warmly shook his hand. And as they parted ways, I asked Dwayne about the guest. So what's his story? What's his name? Dwayne told me that while he had known this guest for several years, he didn't know him like that. He explained that a lot of guests who come to Broad Street and a lot of people who struggle with homelessness, they can be hesitant to tell others their real name because they're afraid of being easily identified. They're afraid of having trouble associated with their name. So instead, they'll use a nickname or even simply avoid using their name around others altogether. By asking for God's name, Moses is, in a way, attempting to gain some degree of control over God, to be granted elite access to the identity, nature, and power of God. While a name, we know, doesn't encapsulate the whole of a person's identity, it does tie a person to a community and to a people. There's a risk in letting people know what your name is. So God responds to Moses' question, "What is your name?" by saying, "I am who I am," which may be God's way of saying, "My name is none of your business. I am who I am." But then almost immediately, God seems to connect with this name as if the name just feels right to God. "Yeah, I am." God tells Moses, "You know, tell the Israelites that I am sent you." It is in this exact moment in the Bible that God chooses to reveal God's name to all of humanity. God seems to name God's self based off of the specific conversation with Moses. And suddenly, "I am" becomes a kind of special nickname between Moses and God and eventually the rest of humanity. Moses then calls God Yahweh, which is the third person singular of "I am." It literally means God is, Yahweh, God is. God then declares that this will be my name forever and for all generations. So I'm going to do something nerdy. Just stay with me for a sec. It's fine. Biblical scholars, don't go away. Biblical scholars have long been fascinated with this whole term of the name of God. So the name can be translated a couple of different ways. It can be translated as I will be who I will be, which maybe suggests that, you know, God will always be with you wherever you are in your life. The name could also be translated as, I will cause to be what I will cause to be, which shows, you know, the brute force and strength of God. The name can also be translated as, I am who I am, meaning that God is eternally present and without equal. So the I am of the name, the root, of course, comes from the word for to be or to exist. But what's strange about this root, stick with me here, what's strange about this root is that there's no present tense for to be in Hebrew, in either biblical Hebrew or modern Hebrew. So if I want to say I am a woman or I am blonde, you just say I, woman. I, blonde. There's no present tense for the word to be in Hebrew. So by translating the name of God as I am who I am, the Hebrew language grammatically asserts that the only person who can be truly present in the here and now is God, the true I am. Mind blown for nerds. Okay, let's move on. There's one more translation of God's name that I quite like. It translates the divine name as, I will be who I am, and I am who I will be. And in this translation, God asserts that no matter what, God will be God for us. God is God for us in the present. God will be God for us in the future. God asserts that God's identity is inherently and irrevocably wrapped up within our own identity, that God will remain faithful no matter what. So God is doing something really daring here by actually sharing God's name. Where God has been resistant in the past, God sees something in Moses and says, you know what, maybe I can open up a little bit to this guy. By sharing the divine name, God risks being known more fully and more intimately by humanity. God dares to distinguish God's self from all of the other gods, so God can no longer be this private, behind-the-scenes kind of God. By sharing the divine name, God enters into a relationship with others and is bound up in the past, present, and future of their stories. God suddenly becomes available to the world and thereby becomes accountable for what actually happens in the world. By sharing the divine name, God risks vulnerability. God risks being hurt and being heartbroken by the people who know this name. But having heard the cries of the Israelites in Egypt, God decides that this inevitable heartbreak is worth it. It's worth risking. God can no longer sit idly by. God dares to be aligned with us, with our struggles, with our fears, with our sufferings, and in the fullness of and in the complexity of our specific identity. God adopts the name I am as a way of fully embracing who we are, as a way of being all in with us, as a way of being our faithful God, whoever we are. God is called I am because God unequivocally affirms every statement that we have where we say, I am. God is your God when you say, I am a woman. I am black, and I am someone who matters. I am undocumented, and I am someone who belongs. I am queer, and I am created in the image of God. I am chronically homeless, and I am valuable. I am underemployed, and I am deserving of rest. I am trans, and I am whole. I am filled with questions and doubts, and I am not alone. Our God is named I Am because God continues to be faithful and present, listening to the cries of the oppressed. God affirms all of who you are. Every time you say I am, God says, I am too. So each week when we enter into this space and you see Alan's shining face over there, we put on name tags and we share this small, powerful piece of ourselves with this community. We do not merely do this because we're all terrible at remembering names, but we do this because we dare to be known by others in this community. And because we follow a God who dares to be known by us. We are challenged in this space as we leave this place to make ourselves known to others, to risk vulnerability, to risk connection, to risk seeing a little bit of yourself in someone else. We are challenged to pay attention to the cries of those in misery and to allow ourselves to be derailed for the sake of others. So your challenge this week is to go out into this beautiful city of ours and to make yourself known to someone new or to someone who's crying out for relief. Go out into this city remembering that we serve a God who is named I Am, who wants you to be present with people where they are, who wants you to fully embrace who others are, saying, I am, and you are, and we are together. Friends, let us pray. Loving God, the truth is that it is difficult for us to just be, to be present in this time and in this place. And yet you are a God who says, I am, O anxious one. All of your fears and all of your concerns, all of your senses of inadequacy, you know what? I am too. Loving God, we ask that you open us up so that we can see people who are crying out and that we can tell them that there are others with them as well. Loving God, continue to reveal yourself to us. Help us to know you more deeply. And help us to learn how to know those around us more deeply as well. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen.